Well, it's been good to be here already today, and thank you, Ben, for the worship time, Ben and Becky. And last Sunday, Leroy was talking about the Word of God coming on us as people, and when that happens, we have a choice of what we're going to do with it. For those of you who are here, you remember that illustration that he gave of the Word of God resting on us. And unless we respond positively to that Word of God, it doesn't return back to the Lord. And it's a weight that continues to be on us. And I wanted to say this to the congregation. That really hit home to me because a couple of weeks ago, I told this to our leadership team, but most of you have known, you've heard me talk about it here before, about the burden that I have been carrying as I think about the church in the future. And as I look at what's ahead of us for Christians, and I don't know what the Lord has been laying on my heart, but there's a clarity by which I see in my mind what's happening to the church and what we're going to face in the future that sometimes I don't know what to do with. And I've actually gotten a little bit tired of that burden laying on me. And I think it was probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, I actually asked the Lord, I said, could I have this removed from me? I don't want to preach what I've been preaching. I'd like to preach like other stuff, like good stuff. And I asked the Lord to remove that off of me, and he honored me in that. But with that has come a struggle in my Christian life that I haven't known what to do with. And I'm just being flat out honest with you here as a church. Because there's come a dryness in my soul and a struggle spiritually that has been difficult for me to deal with to some extent. And I've had to go about probably 2.5-3 weeks ago, I came before the Lord and I repented of that. And I said, Lord, I'll carry that burden if you want me to carry that burden. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And so that message, I felt like Leroy, and I don't know why he picked me to do it on, but I was like, if that isn't so true in our lives and exactly what I've been facing even in my own life, because when the Lord lays something on us, we have to respond and we have to come back and say, yes, I'll do that. So actually, the message I want to preach this morning, let me say this to start with. He also gave the illustration of the frog being in water. If we want to kill a frog and we put him in hot water, it's going to jump out. But if we put it in water that it's okay with and then turn up the heat, it'll stay in there until it dies. And I tell you what, that is the picture, that is the exact picture of what I see happening to us as a church. And it's not out there. I feel that same heat continue to be turned up in my own heart and my own life. And the thing that I'm battling with the most in my own heart and my own life is getting accustomed to what the world wants to impose on us and what Satan wants to impose on us. And it's a constant battle that I'm facing in my own heart and life every day. Because the heat in the last 10 years has been cranked up incredibly. And we are more and more just caving in to that, and we're becoming accustomed to it. And what we thought was bad 20 years ago, I am now watching people defend with anger, saying that it's okay. That's a picture of what's happening to us as Christian people. What was awful 20 and 30 years ago, we are now saying, what's wrong with it? And we hear all kinds of things happening. We hear phrases like, what is wrong with that? So what? Everyone else is doing that. What does it matter today? Who cares? I don't care what anyone thinks or feels. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's the signs that we are becoming accustomed to the heat. We are. And I'm not talking to anyone else except me, myself, and us as a people here, because I am facing that same thing every day. There are times that I read the paper and I'm not even appalled at what I read anymore. It's just become a way of life for us and we say this is normal. No, it's not normal. And we've become accustomed to the heat. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 91. Actually, let's stand. I've asked Jared to come read this scripture for us this morning out of Psalm 91. You can follow along. Just stand sort of in honor of the Word of God.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and shall show him my salvation.
Thank you, Jared. You can be seated. Now, I don't know what you think about when you read a passage of Scripture like that. But a lot of times when we're in the middle of the storms of life, a passage like that gives us incredible comfort, knowing that the Lord is with us. And as you, I'm not going to spend much time in the center of that passage, but it talks about all the things that won't happen to us or that we'll have victory over if we're close to the Lord. And I've heard people say that, okay, so that if I'm going through a rough time, it means that I'm not close to the Lord. Because if I would be, Scripture says that the Lord will protect us. He'll be our fortress. He'll be all kinds of things for us, and He'll deliver us out of those things. And I don't know what your theology is. My theology is, I don't go there, because as I read what Paul went through, I was reading Paul's life as I was studying for this, and Paul went through about everything there is to go through. Sickness, 5 times he got beaten, 40 stripes minus one, 39 stripes, 5 times. We thought Jesus was mutilated when he went to the cross. I wonder what Paul's back looked like after 5 times getting 39 stripes and stoned. And the list goes on and on. So as we're close to the Lord, as we're walking with the Lord, it doesn't mean that we'll be delivered from everything. Irvin was talking about the persecuted church and what they're facing and going through. But there's some incredible truths in this scripture that I want to pull our minds to. The title of my message is Running to the Shadow. First of all, the one thing I want to talk about here in the first verse, he talks about he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And he's talking about the fact, well, let me just say this. Dwelling means to sit down, to settle, to remain, actually to marry. It has the implication of marrying. It has the idea of permanence. That we're sitting, we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And as I think about what we're about to face in the future as a church, if what I'm seeing is true, and I don't know that for sure, but if what I see in my mind and what I see for us in the future, if that is true, there's a couple of things that we're going to have to grab a hold of. And one is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. But really what this calls us to, the question that I want to bring out that this chapter is talking about is where are we spending our time? Where is our time going in life? Are we dwelling where we need to dwell? The truth is, all of us have the same amount of time in a day. And the question comes from this psalm is where are we spending our time? I'm a news junkie a little bit. I love to read the news. I love to get up in the morning and go down and read the news and see what has happened in the world while I was sleeping. And I sort of like to keep caught up on that. The problem is, if I'm not careful, I'll have spent more time reading the news in the morning than I will have spent with the Lord. And all of a sudden, I have to go to work, and I realize, my goodness, if I'm honest with myself, I've spent way more time reading what was in the news than I was just dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and spending time with God and getting strength and energy from Him for my day. And my time goes all over the place sometimes. And what the psalmist is calling us to is, where are we spending our time? Where are we dwelling? Where is our time going? Where is our energy going to? That's a good question for us, because the truth is, if we want the presence of the Lord in our lives, if we want the strength that we need to make it through the day, if we want to be able to last for the long haul, we have to dwell in the presence of the Lord God, in the secret place of the Most High. That's where it's at. There's not a lot that I have to say that we can do to prepare for the future except that. We have to come back to, where are we spending our time? My time goes to work, and I do ministry, but the truth is, I sometimes do ministry without the strength of the Lord and the power of the Lord in my life. That's an awful thing to do, by the way. But we go throughout our day and we spend more time in other things than we do with the Lord God. But it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And what he's calling us to is, what shadow are we running to? And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about when I was in construction, I remember framing in the middle of the summer. It's hot, so hot you can hardly stand it. And then comes lunch break. And we'd run and grab our lunches and head for a shadow someplace. We wanted to get in the shade out of the burning hot sun. And so you grab whatever shade is available. Sometimes we were able to go into the basement, and that's the awesome place to go because you have shadows all around you and it's cool down there. And we would sit there and eat our lunch, a break from the hot burning sun. Sometimes we grabbed a shade tree. Sometimes we were able to sit in the shadow of a wall. And if we weren't far enough along on the house, that wasn't very much of a shadow to run to. And we would sit there, and sometimes all we that was out of the burning hot sun was our bodies here, and our legs, we couldn't tuck them in under the shadow. And you'd sit there, and so you're partially covered and partially not, and you just want to be out of there. You want to break from the burning hot sun. And that is such an incredible picture of our lives. The truth is, when life comes at us, when life comes at us full force, it's like we're in the burning hot sun. And when life comes at us, we all run toward a shadow. The question is, what shadow do we run to? Where are we going to get away from the burning heat of life at times when it's coming at us? We all run somewhere. Some of us run to things like food. You know my story. And when I get under pressure, the easiest thing for me to do is to run to the pantry and eat some food and raid the refrigerator. And I'm wandering around the house. I've told you this story before, but I'll say it again. And then Starla has to ask me, and it bugs me to death. But she says things like, you know, are you really hungry, or like, what's going on? And I get angry at her and all those kind of things happening. But really, what she's doing is she's calling me, hey, what shadow are you running to? Are you actually hungry here? Or are you just using this as a comfort some way out of the pressure that you're feeling and the stress that's going on? You're running to a shadow. And sometimes the shadow is food. Sometimes it's things like sports. Most of you know I love sports. I love going to games. I don't play much anymore, but I love playing sports, all that kind of stuff. But the truth is, sports can be a shadow that we're running to in our lives. It's a way for us to disconnect from the pressure and the heat and the intensity of life, and we just go to what gives us a little bit of a shadow from it. So it can be technology and movies, and the list goes on and on. And what the psalmist is calling us to is, what shadow are we running to in our lives when things get tough? And as we look at the future, as I'm looking at the future, the question comes back to, how am I going to make it? And the truth is, I'm not going to make it by running to the fleeting shadows of life. I'm not going to make it by just going up against a wall and getting a little bit of shadow on my body so that I can get out of the heat just a little bit. That's not going to cut it in the long haul. We have to run to the basement. We have to run to the shadow that's all-encompassing and that gives us what we need to make it no matter what we face. I don't believe this scripture is talking about the fact that if we dwell in the secret place of the Most High and if we're abiding in the shadow, that no sun can get to us. No, the pressure and the stuff of life, and Satan will do all he can to take us out of the game. And we're going to face those things, but when we face them, what shadow are we running to? And we can't run to the shadow of the Almighty unless we are spending our time in His presence. It won't happen because the shadow isn't there. We're not close enough to Him. We're not spending time with Him. We're not able to do to draw from His strength and from His presence because the time is not there. So where are we spending our time? And where and what shadow are we running to? That's what He's calling us to. Psalm 52:7 says this, "See the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches," and catch the rest of this verse, "and sought refuge in his own destruction." That's a powerful phrase right there. He sought refuge in his own destruction. He ran to the shadow. The problem was the shadow was his own destruction. In this case, he's talking about he went toward money. Money was his safety and his refuge, and he sought refuge in something that actually was his own destruction. What shadow are we running to? It's so true of our lives. And yet God is there. He's saying, run to my shadow. Spend time with me. And we know the verse in Matthew where he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and yet you were not willing. And the Lord is calling us to say, I have this shadow here for you. In it, there's safety and protection. I will deliver you. It doesn't mean that we won't face things. It means that we'll have the strength to get through. He will deliver us and protect us in those times. I love a quote. How many of you have seen the video, The Last Flight Out? A few of you. In that, the guy that the missionary that gave his life for the getting the native people out of that village, he laid down his life for the native village. But he says this to the guy that wasn't a Christian. He says, the safest place on earth is in the center. This is sort of my words, but is in the center of his will. That's the safest place on earth. And he ends up dying as a result of the belief and passion that he had for that. But it is so true. If we're in the shadow of the Almighty, that's the safest place for us to be. It doesn't mean that it's totally safe. It doesn't mean that we won't lose our lives. It doesn't mean that we won't be persecuted. It doesn't mean that we won't face things, but it is the safest place to be, because if we're not there, we're out in the burning sun. We're in the direct attack of what's happening in life. The third thing that I see in this passage, and this is jumping down to verse 14, is who or what is the object of our love? Who or what is the object of of our love? Verse 14 says this. This is the Lord talking. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Who or what is the object of our love? We talk about loving all kinds of things. We love fame. We love money. We love all kinds of things. We talk about that. The truth is, what really is the object of our love? And I think that is a direct result of the first point. It's where we spend our time is what we really love. It's where my energy is going. Those are the things that I really love. If we're going to make it in the long run, our hearts and our love has to be centered and focused on Jesus Christ. I can't love sports more than I love God. I can't love technology more than I love God. I can't love my job more than I love God. I can't even love my family more than I love God. Because in all those things, there's nothing wrong with any of those things in themselves, and family is very important. But the truth is, if I love my family more than I love God, I'm not going to have what it takes in the long run. And I love this psalm. I love the picture of being in the shadow of the Almighty, but I also love it because it calls us to something. It's not just saying, hey, you become a Christian and I'll take care of you the rest of your life. No, it talks about the fact that we need to spend time. Where are we spending our time? What, you know, we talk about things here in a church, and I was thinking about this. A couple weeks ago, James talked about our prayer meetings. Why do we talk about prayer meetings? You know, I don't need one other meeting in my life Okay, I'm looking to get away from meetings. I'm getting, you know, whoever, what Gary said, there's not much to do out in Kansas. And I leaned over to my wife and I said, that's not all bad. You know, the truth is, it would be fun to live in Kansas for a while. I don't know if I'd like to live there. I don't like Kansas as a state, but anyway. We don't need more meetings. And I understand the busyness of our schedules, but the thing that we do need is more time with the Lord. We need more time in His presence. And the other thing that I need as a person is Wednesday night we were gathered here in a circle praying for people. And I need people who are willing to gather around me when I need prayer and to come, go to bat for me before the throne of the Lord. That's what prayer meeting is all about. It's not about church and some program that we're trying to run in church. We do prayer meetings. We do cell groups. What we do in church, we're doing to give people an opportunity to spend more time in the presence of the Lord and to gather and bind together in unity so that we have what it takes to make it in the long run. I don't want a church that just does programs. I don't want a church that just gets together for the sake of getting together. But our heart and our passion is to bind together in unity, because the truth is, not only do I need the Lord, I need you. And I need people who have the guts when things get rough and hard and difficult that are willing to stand here and to pray for each other. And to care about the fact that someone's going through a difficult time. We prayed for people that were unsaved, neighbors, and things like that on Wednesday night. Is that where our heart is? It's not about a meeting. But the truth is, what are we teaching our children? I'm piggybacking on what James said here, and I loved his message and what he brought. But what are we teaching our children that it's important to run to? Is it more the shadow that... Are we teaching them that it's important to run to the shadow of the Almighty? And not only do we just attend a service, we are passionate about linking arms and joining forces against the forces of evil and against the sun that is beating down and drawing people into the safety of the shadow of the Almighty. That's what it's all about. I don't want to do church. I really don't. It's easier to stay at home and sleep on Sunday morning. But the truth is, I can't make it without it. I can't make it without coming collectively in the presence of the Lord. By myself, I get messed up. Even though it's important to spend time in the presence of the Lord by myself. But I also need people. Why do we talk about technology and the dangers of technology? Because that's what distracts us from spending time in the presence of the Lord. In the last 3 weeks, I've realized that my mind has become more and more cluttered. And when I do try to spend time in the presence of the Lord, I'm thinking about all the news that I read, and I'm thinking about... And so in the last 3 weeks, I already spend a fraction of what some people spend on the internet, but I realized that it was cluttering my mind. And it was easy for me to do things with technology rather than spend time with the Lord, and it is also cluttering my mind. And I've been fasting. I've been doing technology fasting for the last 3 weeks, and I'll pick a day or two where I'll just cut out different aspects of media to declutter my mind. You know, technology isn't wrong. But the question is that where our time and our energy and our focus is going? Because when it goes to things like that, the shadow of the Almighty keeps getting smaller and smaller because we're not spending time in His presence. And I have to fight that. I'm not preaching to anyone here. I'm telling you my own journey in the last number of weeks. That's why we talk about things like that. That's why media matters. The garbage that we allow ourselves to watch, and the videos and the movies, and the list goes on, that is just allowing ourselves to become more and more accustomed to the heat that's happening in our world. And I'm not preaching against movies. I'm asking us to think about what is keeping us from spending time in the presence of the Lord. What is keeping us out of the shadow of the Almighty God? Why do we want to become accustomed to the heat that is getting turned up in our lives? I was talking to some people yesterday, and the one guy, we were just talking about our past some, and the one guy told the story of how he went to clean up his dad's shop one time, and his dad, he thought his dad would be proud of him because he couldn't find anything in the shop. So he spent a number of days and cleaned up his dad's shop, and his dad actually got angry at him because he wanted his shop exactly the way it was. And I was like, what a picture of our own lives. There's garbage laying all over in our lives sometimes. And yet we want it that way. And we will defend it. And we will say, I have a right for my shop to be exactly how I want it to be. And we will defend the garbage in our lives because that's what's comfortable for us. And yet the Lord is calling us to spend time with the Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This morning, Ben and Becky, you're going to sing one more song. It's a song, I Need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. You're my defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need Thee. And I actually want to open it up. We haven't done this for a little while, but if you realize your need of the Lord, and maybe this morning you want to make a commitment saying, yeah, I need to rethink my time, where I'm spending my time. Go ahead, Ben. I need to rethink what shadow I'm running to. Out of the intensity of the heat of life, what shadow are we running to in our lives? Where are we going to get out of the intensity? And every one of us have something that we run to. The question is it the Most High? Is it the Most High God that we're running to? And who or what is the object of our love? So as they sing this song, I want to just open it up. If you want to feel free to come up front, feel free. And spend time actually just in the presence of the Lord, because we need more of that. I need more of that. Because the heat gets intense in life. Let's pray. Father, I need You. I need more of You than I had before, than I had yesterday. And Lord, it's so easy for me to say that. It's much harder for me to spend the time that I need with You. And I run to all kinds of other things. And Lord, I ask for Your forgiveness in my life, in all of our lives, Lord. Hear the confession of our lips as we sing this song. Amen. Let's stand together. Again, if you want to spend time at the altar, it's open.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here. I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holy Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll follow you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Righteousness, oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how
pray. Father, thank you for meeting with us here today. God, strengthen us, encourage us as we leave this place. God, we want to be closer to you. We want to follow you. We want to be in your shadow. And not only just us, we want to help others to find that as well. God, dismiss us with your blessing. I pray for the noon meal. I thank you for the food, for the opportunity that we have of eating together and fellowshipping together. Lord, dismiss us with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.